All mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live in you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who's rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and in the name of Jesus Christ your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your blessed Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Mercifully give us faith to trust that, as he promised, he abides with us on earth to the end of time. He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading is from the first chapter of Acts, beginning at the first verse. Luke writes, "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Ephesians, first chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. So that with the eyes of your hearts enlightened, you may know what is in hope in which he has called you, What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put the power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and he has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 11 and those with them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things, and see, I am sending you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." Then he said to them, Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A group of elementary children, school children, who lived in the same neighborhood walked home from school together every day. At one point along the journey, one young girl departed from the group to cut through the cemetery to get to her house. The other kids loved to tease her. "You live in the cemetery." They teased her about being a zombie. They teased her about ghosts and boogeymen and anything else that they could think about teasing her about, because she walked through the cemetery every day. One day the little girl had had enough. She stomped her foot on the ground and she said to that group of kids, "It's the only way home. It's the only way home." I've shared that story several times at graveside services because it fits. The grave, the cemetery, is our only way home. It's our reality. Anytime someone leaves this world, it is through the grave or the cemetery. Until we meet Jesus. His enemies tried to force Jesus out of this world. They tried to send him home by killing him, by placing him in the grave, in the cemetery. But the cemetery could not hold Jesus. The grave was empty. And now it's time for Jesus to return home to the Father. And he returns to the Father on his own terms. He ascends. He ascends alive. And we're not quite sure what to do with that, because it's not our reality. It raises questions for us. Where exactly does Jesus go? How does he get there? When and how might he return? And might we see him again? How does he defy the physics and reality of our lives, of this world? And to be honest, I am not able to answer any of those questions. And as far as I know, neither is anyone else. What I would like to explore with you today is the possibility that as Jesus ascends, he creates for his disciples, including you and me, an alternate route to the future, an alternate route home, no longer through the grave or the cemetery, but through the life-giving community in which Jesus abides, in which he remains, that community that he draws together through his love and through his life. We're not unique in struggling to understand this ascension, and we're not unique in our perspective that as someone leaves this world, they leave through death and the cemetery. Prior to Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples could see no other reality than the cemetery or the grave. In Luke 22, Jesus is making his way to the cross, and he begins to tell his disciples about his upcoming death, suffering and death. And Peter says to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." It's the only way that Peter could see. Jesus replies, knowing the truth about Peter and the rest of the disciples, he says, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me. In John's gospel, Mary is at the tomb the day the Sabbath, after the Sabbath, and she discovers that Jesus' body is missing from the grave. Assuming a man that she meets there to be the gardener, she says to him, "Sir, if you have moved his body, show me and I will take it." She can imagine nothing other than death, the grave, and the cemetery. Jesus, now living, calls her by name, Mary. When she hears her voice, she responds, "Rabboni," which means teacher. In that moment, Jesus says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father." Mary wants to hold on to Jesus. She wants to cling to him. But Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father." You see, at Jesus' ascension in Luke 24, the disciples finally show that they are ready to release Jesus. To release him to heaven along with any demand to cling to the past, which is what Mary wanted to do. She wanted to hold on to the past. She wanted to hold on to what had been. She wanted to maintain that which had grown between them. But the disciples are now ready to release Jesus to heaven along with any demand to hold on to or cling to the past. And this frees them. It frees them to move into their new future with God. It empowers them to enter that abiding place. It empowers them to enter their true home. For us then, this season of ascension represents our readiness to release a past with its sometimes painful events and tightly held needs or demands, letting them ascend into the care of Jesus and our Father in heaven. Ascension for you and for me represents a readiness to release a past that is sometimes painful, a past that we often hold too tightly to, with its needs and its demands. Today is Mother's Day. We all know that. It's what we come to worship with on our minds. And it might be a day when some here may want or need to release a past. It's painful events and tightly held needs or demands, letting them ascend. It's a new way home. Marriage. There may be some here this morning who want to or need to release a past. It's painful events and tightly held needs or demands, letting them ascend. It's a new way home. Today, as Ray mentioned, is high school graduation, and those young people are on our minds. It's a time for families, parents and children, and extended family to gather and to celebrate accomplishments. But in the midst of it all, there will be some who want to or need to release a past. It's painful events and tightly held needs or demands, letting them ascend. And if that is possible, it will be a new way home. Today, we as a congregation, as a body of Christ, we baptize Hannah Lynn into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for just such a life as this. A life of repentance, a life of forgiveness, a life of letting ascend and releasing those things that would trap her in death. Jesus' ascension frees Hannah. It frees her for life, for the abundant life that Jesus desires for her, a life lived in community with God and community with God's people. You see, for God, it's as important that we abide in relationship with our family, our neighbors, our world, our brothers and sisters. It's as important that we abide with one another as it is to God that we abide with God. And so that's how John's gospel can proclaim to you and I that eternal life doesn't start somewhere in a distant future, but it starts in this life when we enter into that relationship with Jesus, and as we enter into that relationship with his community. Dear friends, on this Ascension Day, I wonder what it is that God is inviting you to release. What is it that God is inviting you to let ascend to Jesus? To release, to let go of those hurts and those tightly held demands or needs. Trust him, my friends. Trust him, for we stand with that group of children. We stand with them on that corner, on that intersection between life and death, between life and breath and the cemetery. But as we stand here in this moment today, we stand here in hope. And we stand here with Jesus, who trusted his Father as he ascended to his throne to prepare for you and I, to prepare for us a community, to prepare for us a new way home.
Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. I will end each petition with, "Hear us, O God." And the invited response is, "Your mercy is great." Lord Most High, Lord Most Holy, you sent your Son to redeem all creation. Enlighten and expand the witness of the church. Ground us in the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Hear us, O God. Mother's Day. Lord, thank you for the gift of a mother's love. We celebrate traditional mothers and all of the others that fill the role of a mother. Mother's Day. Lord, not everyone finds joy on this day of the year. A day of celebration and love for many is a day of sadness and hurt for others. Wrap those for which this day causes pain into your loving arms and grant them peace. Hear us, O God. Father, as with things like Mother's Day, that being different feelings for different people, this is so true in many things in life. I love the joy and the sound of a spring rain and the freshness it brings, but I mourn for farmers that cannot yet get into the field. The sound of rain brings comfort to me and distress for others at times. Give assurance and patience for those that feed our world as they wait to get seed into the ground. Hear us, O God. Healer of our every ill, you know our deepest pains and sorrows. Replenish those who are depressed, bereaved, or exhausted. Mend the brokenhearted. Restore the sick and all who live with illness, cancer, and death. Please let's lift up those that are printed in our bulletin by saying their first names together. Lord, we bring to you Rolf, Michaela, Mike, Karen, Ione, Catherine, the family of Herb, Paige, Anne, Tim, Laura, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes, our missionaries Colin, Jenny, Joseph, and Amos. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Eternal One, your faithfulness endures in every age. Thank you for the witness of the first apostles. Thank you for all the saints who have traveled with us on the disciples' road. Thank you for the blessing of Hannah Walker. Keep her in your loving embrace. Bless our graduates as they move on to their next journey in life. May they know your loving guidance and peace. Hear us, O God. We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
May God, who's brought us from death to life, fill you with great joy. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Join me with the words from your bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You are the body of Christ, raised up for the world. Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace, the Spirit sends us forth to serve.
Thanks be to God.